Blog Talk Radio.
I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own Mr. Randy Watson. Yes, Randy Watson.
That boy is good.
Mm-hmm. Good and terrible.
And Reverend Brown. We're here for the Reverend. This man's been my Reverend since I was a little boy, and I love him dearly. You're a very special man. Reverend Brown. Reverend Brown. It feels so lovely to be here tonight. What a beautiful audience. Give yourselves a round of applause. You're so lovely. Everyone's so lovely. And while you're in a clapping mood, I'd like to give a big round of applause to my band, Sexual Chocolate. Sexual Chocolate. They play so fine, don't you agree?
I believe the children are our future.
Thank you.
Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride. Make it easier.
Some of the good stuff, right? Coming up.
Want a Coke? Join yourself?
Enjoy, young man.
I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, you can't take away my dignity. Because the greatest love of all is inside of me.
Check the chocolate.
Damn, that boy can sing. He must be crazy. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Laila Tawab, which means good night or good evening in the ancient Paleo Hebrew. I'm your brother, your host, your friend, as always, Tazapah. I will be joined shortly by my readers, Hasadiah or Kaya. Joining us shortly, y'all. Hope everybody's in good spirits. Everybody had a good weekend, a good Shabbat. Everybody's healthy, man. Mashaba, I wasn't expecting that. You slipped that one in on me. Hilarious, man. Look, old school, man. Coming to America, man. Welcome to the show, y'all. Welcome to Bible Talk. I want to send shouts out to our affiliated schools, the brothers here in San Antonio, Texas, led by War, the brothers down in H-Town, in Houston, led by the brother Quatrazak, the brothers up in Virginia, led by Kazakia, the brothers up in Rochester, led by the brothers Nala. Shouts out to our brothers and sisters in Canada, Atlanta, California. Shouts out to Aisha and the crew out in Albuquerque. And shouts out to Kyle Cobb down in Guatemala, man. If anybody has a number on Kyle Cobb, man, please shoot it my way. The number I had on him is no longer good, so and I need to get in contact with him just to check in, man, chat with a brother, chop it up. But shouts out to him. Shouts out to the 12 tribes scattered worldwide, man. So if you're an Israelite, you believe in the commandments and the principle, keeping the principles of Christ, then shouts out to you, man. And even shouts out to our Old Testament-only brothers, man. Shout out to y'all as well as we wait to be delivered from this demonic, sadistic place, man. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that what we all waiting on, man? All right, y'all. Let me go ahead and get into it. I got a lot to unpack this evening, man. But before I can even get into it, let me go ahead and open up like I always do with the Our Father prayer. So Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So this is the prayer we need to be sending up on a daily, brothers and sisters, so we can get the hell on, man. Because we ready to go. Ready to go. All right, let's get Psalms chapter 124. Verse 18. Psalms chapter 124. Oh, I'm tripping. 118, verse 24. Psalms chapter 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord had made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So good or bad, happy or sad, the Most High brought you to it. He'll bring you through it, and you'll come out better on the other side because of it. Please believe me. All right, y'all. So if it's your first time tuning in to the show, I do about an hour of news, current events, Kyle Pye Soapbox, which you might get a lot of that this evening. About an hour, sometimes more. I'm going to try really, 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 really hard, y'all, not to run over my hour for news and current events, because I definitely want to get into the class that I didn't get a chance to get into last week because of news and current events, man. But this stuff be so polarizing, man, that I have to take my time and bring it out, man, and let everybody know exactly what's going on around the globe, exactly what's going on, man, and like I said, around the globe, because a lot of times we're so concerned with, you know, our immediate surroundings and what's going on, we don't even pay attention to what's going on around the globe. But you remember what Christ said. Matter of fact, let's get that in Matthew chapter 24. When the disciples had asked him, when shall all these things be and when shall be the end of the world and the sign of his coming, right? So this is what Christ told them. Let me get the verse. Hold on, y'all. You bear with me. I'm looking for a scripture. Where's the scripture at? Oh, here it is right here. Matthew chapter 24 and verse 42. It says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. So this is Yahweh Shai, who the world calls Christ, telling us to watch, pay attention. It says, because you don't know which hour Christ is coming, but why would he tell us to watch? Because from verses 1 all the way down to verse 41, he gives us the things to watch out for, the signs to watch out for. And one of the things he talks about was wars and rumors of wars, and he goes into a host of things, but this is, in fact, when we know that Christ is on his way back, y'all. Matter of fact, let me jump back up. Let me jump up. Matthew 24 and verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? So it's three questions here, but let's deal with the first question. He said, they asked him, tell us, when shall these things be? So when, because he tells us in verse 1 that the temple was going to be destroyed, then they ask, when shall these things, and what shall be the sign of thy coming? So when is the temple going to be destroyed? When are you coming back? This is the second coming of Yahweh Shai, the second coming of Christ. And then the third question they asked was, and of the end of the world. So three questions was asked here, and Christ gave the answer to all three questions in this chapter. We ain't going to read the whole chapter because I don't have time to go through it. Maybe one day we have to go and get this chapter. I know Michelle has broken it down many times. We don't get it today, though. But Christ answered all those questions. But what I want to key in on and focus in on is verse 42, where it says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. So we can't put a time stamp on when Christ is coming back because don't nobody know. And Christ tells us in another gospel, matter of fact, this same gospel, he tells us in verse 43. But know this. Oh, wait. Is it the same chapter? No, it's not in this chapter, I don't think. But he says that his second coming knoweth no man. He says not even him. Only the Father knows when he's coming back. And I'm saying this to say that don't believe people that's trying to put a time stamp and get you to believe that, you know, our time is up or give you a specific date to let you a specific date to telling you that Christ is coming back. What slaves say, public enemy back in the day, don't believe the hype. What the kids say this day and age, that's a cap. They're capping. Don't believe the cap. If somebody tells you, try to pinpoint and give you a date, walk away from it. That's a false prophet, which he told us and warned us about in this very same chapter. So don't believe the hype. But back to the point, we need to be watchful of the things that are happening around the world, because remember, they asked him also, when is the world going to end? So we need to be watching to see signs from around the world as to when it's coming to an end. All right. So with that said, we're going to go to this article right here, y'all, from AlShazir.com. All right. Explainer, News Politics. Haiti crisis. Is a gang-led coup next? Haiti is in chaos after massive prison break and gangs calling for the resignation of its prime minister. How did it get here? So, in case y'all haven't heard, Haiti is right now being ran by gangs. The prime minister already left. He's been gone. So, the government, the whole country right now is basically being ran by the people. Haiti's government declared a 72-hour state of emergency on Sunday after armed gang members stormed the Caribbean nation's two biggest prisons. Now, I didn't notice. It says the Caribbean nations, plural, two biggest prisons. So the two biggest prisons in the Caribbean nation is on the island known as, well, used to be known as Hispaniola, but it's on that island. I didn't know this. Prisons in the Caribbean on the island of Haiti. Ain't that something? It's not a coincidence, y'all. I'm going back to the story. Armed gang members stormed the Caribbean nation's two biggest prisons, freeing more than 4,700 inmates. In capital Port-au-Prince, corpses lie in neighborhoods and burning tires serve as roadblocks. So they basically, like I said, took over the city, man. Took over the country. It says, meanwhile, the whereabouts of Prime Minister Ariel Henry are unknown. After he visited Kenya last week, Finance Minister Patrick Boisvert, as acting prime minister, announced the curfew. How did Haiti get to this point? At least 12 people have been reported dead, four of them being police officers. Gangs have targeted police stations, including the National Penitentiary, the Toussaint Louverture International Airport, and even the National Soccer Stadium, a second prison in Port-au-Prince containing around 1,400 inmates, was also overran. So like I said, man, gangs basically took over the country right now. And this Toussaint Louverture International Airport is named after one of the brothers that helped liberate Haiti, and we'll get to that later. Yet the violence has roots in turbulent political history. Yes, it does. That has shaped and continues to shape Haiti. So, and then this article is going to run it down, y'all. I'm going to read this whole thing because I really want us to grasp concept of what's happening now. All of these things are historic, and this is why I like dealing with history so much, because even the scriptures tell us in Ecclesiastes, the thing that has been is now, and that shall be. Let us know that history keeps repeating itself. And as we're going to read through this, y'all going to see how this country's history keeps repeating itself. And then we're going to get into why. All right, so 1959, a failed coup by military officials and foreigners to overthrow President Francisco Papadop Duvalle led him to create his secret police force, the Tonton Macutes, to serve as a counterweight to the army. So that was 59. Then they jump all the way to 1990. Former parish president John Bertrand Artiste, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, a left-wing champion of the poor, won Haiti's first free election in 1990. He was removed in a coup in 1991, to be replaced by René Préval. And that coup that is mentioning was sponsored by, yep, your very own United States government by way of the CIA, Central Intelligence Agency. I got the proof. I'm going to bring it up. All right, 2000. In the early 2000s, Artiste, hope I'm saying this dude's name right. Hold up. Artiste, formed his own armed gangs known as the Chimeries, serving as a protection racket and an instrument of political oppositions. In 2001, Artiste was sworn in as president again. So he was ousted out in, what did it say? In the 90s, in 90, he came back in 2000 and was president again. 2004, a prominent gang known as the Cannibal Army at the time, also called the Archer Bonnet Resistance Front, seized control of the Navies, a commune in northern Haiti on February 5th. Later that month, they took control of the country's second biggest city, Cap Haïtien. So this has happened before. As the gang attacked Port-au-Prince, Aristide resigned amid allegations of French and U.S. support. Now listen to this. Aristide resigned amid allegations of French and U.S. support. These ain't no allegations. This is true. They always intervene in elections and turmoil. In fact, they start the turmoil. Y'all get a chance, man. Two movies I got for y'all. This is y'all homework. Go back and watch The Godfather, Part 2, I believe it was. And in that movie, it goes over or it talks about how the CIA was involved with the mafia in an attempt to take over the government and basically run the island. Because, matter of fact, they was already running the island. Because you remember, go back and watch the movie, y'all. This is where all the casinos was in Cuba. All the gangsters, they used to hang out in Cuba. And that's what the movie is talking about, how the gangsters basically ran Cuba and American corporations ran Cuba. But when Castro came into power, and it goes into that in the movie, I believe it's Godfather Part 2, Castro kicked all the gangsters out, all the U.S. corporations, all of them. This is why Cuba had embargoes on them for, I think, for like almost 100 years, if not more, which, what was his name? Obama supposedly relinquished those embargoes, took those embargoes off of Cuba during his presidency. I don't know what happened since, if whether they reissued those embargoes or what, but they was trying to make nice with Cuba because Cuba was not having American colonialism. They were sick of that. And then it says the French. Now, what's interesting about the French, and this is why history is so important, y'all. I implore y'all to read up on your history. The French actually colonialized. So you had the French on one side, which is Haiti. Then you had the Spaniards on the other side of the island, known as the Dominican Republic. Y'all commonly refer to it as DR. This is where all our people, all our sisters, be going to get the BB, what do you call them? The BBWs. The BBWs and the booty lifts and BBLs and all that stuff. But they had control over that island. This is who Haiti, and we're going to get into it, claimed their independence from the French. But since they done that, the French and other Edomite countries have had like a vendetta or a score they wanted to settle with Haiti to keep their foot on the Haitian people's neck. And this is why that nation has been in such turmoil since, is one of the reasons. The other reason I'm going to get into is their natural resources. But anyway, let me go back to the article. As the gang attacked Port-au-Prince, resigned amidst allegations of French and U.S. support for the coup plotters because of Aristide's call for reparations. Whoa. His call for what? Reparations. So, and Aristide is a Haitian. He's a natural born Haitian, I believe, citizen of that country. And he was petitioning, and I guess it had to be France and the U.S. as well, petitioning them for reparations. And what do you know? They staged the coup again to get him out of office, because remember, he was in there in 1990. It says, claims that the Paris and Washington, here it is, claims that Paris and Washington have denied. Of course they would deny it. 2010, catastrophic earthquake killed between 100,000 and 300,000 people, according to various estimates. And this is the earthquake that we're all familiar with, where they was asking everybody to send their money. And I know a lot of entertainers like Wyclef sent money. A whole bunch of people sent money because I believe, he's Haitian. And we know them as the tribe of Levi, but we'll get into that. They sent a lot of money, but ain't nothing happened. Nothing happened. No infrastructure was rebuilt. Even if they had infrastructure, if they did, it's very, very poor in infrastructure. It's a third world country. Haiti, y'all can look this up, is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. Well, let me read on. It says the earthquake also led to former gang members escaping prison and taking over makeshift camps originally made for earthquake victims. Gender-based violence perpetuated by gangs also began to rise. Oh, I guess they, no batiman, no batigar, that's nasty. Nasty. Boom, bye-bye in the body boy's head. They weren't playing that. Good for them. 2011, 2014, Michael Martel won the presidential election, but amid mounting anger over corruption and poverty, large anti-government protests broke out against his government. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, y'all. I'm going too fast. I told y'all to go look at The Godfather Part 2. Also, go watch the movie The Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd. Great. One of my favorite movies. I can watch this movie like back to back. But what the movie goes into is it goes into the conception of the CIA, which started right after the World War II is when they started the CIA. I think a little bit before that, but right around that time, because you had World War II, you had the CIA being created, and then you had what's known as the Cold Wars, or the Cold War, between Russia and America, which really was a war for colonization. They just wanted to see how much land and how many countries they could colonize. And then after that, you had the arms race between America and the U.S. America and Russia. Let me see, 2017, Vanuatu exporter turned politician Jovenel Moise was declared the winner of the 2016 presidential election. That's 2017. 2018, members of the Moise government allegedly helped gangs commit massacres by providing them with money, weapons, and government vehicles used in attacks on the capital. 2019, due to a political gridlock and unrest, Haiti failed to hold new elections, leading to Moise steadily amassing power. And I ain't did no research on him, but just seeing what's going on with him, I wasn't a bet he was a puppet for America. Thousands protest on the streets calling for Moise's resignation, chanting no to dictatorship. Moise was assassinated in July by Colombian mercenaries, unknown paymasters. Yeah, right. Ariel Henry was sworn in as prime minister with the help of international backing after Moise's assassination. How much power, and that's 2021, how much power do gangs have in Haiti? Gangs hold considerable influence in Haiti. Until recently, they control around 60% of the capital, and United Nations, UN officials say that number has grown to 80%. Wow. Around 200 gangs exist in Haiti, and 23 dominant ones are believed to be operating in the metropolitan capital. Firearms typically smuggled from the United States alongside ransom payments to kidnappers have lent financial independence to gangs. Yeah, kidnapping is off the chain in Haiti. It was a rumor. I don't know if it really was true. Remember when did War die? One of her people.
Yeah, but
her brother, was he kidnapped or was he for real?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, he was kidnapped. Wow. So that goes down in Haiti, man. An underfunded and under-resourced police department has also allowed the gangs to amass power that the state has struggled to match. Present-day gangs enjoy a much higher degree of military capacity than those a decade ago, according to a report by the Global Initiative Against Transnational Organized Crime, a non-governmental organization headquartered in Geneva. This has largely been driven by the gang's ability to acquire high-caliber weapons. A 2023 UN report, and matter of fact, I got one more movie for y'all because they're talking about weapons. Look up the what was the name of that damn movie? The Lord of War, I think it was called, with, what is his name? Nicolas Cage. Oh, snap. Okay, the Water Mashaba. The sister's mother, Wardai's mother, was kidnapped by her brother and a gang. So her son was in on the kidnapping. That is crazy, man. So back to what I was saying. Yeah, check that movie out too. So three movies for y'all. Godfather Part Two, The Good Shepherd, and Lord of War, I think it's called, with Nicolas Cage. All right, it says, since the recent outbreak of violence, around 15,000 people have fled the capital, as estimated by the International Organization for Migration. Many of the people who escaped were already previously displaced and in makeshift camps in schools, hospitals, and public squares, man. Yeah, because that earthquake really done Haiti bad, but Haiti was suffering before the earthquake even happened, man. So you had a lot of people that was homeless in the first place. In 2023 alone, around 200,000 residents fled the kidnappings, lootings, and sexual violence related to gangs. Around 3,000 people were killed as a result of gang violence, and 1,500 were kidnapped for ransom. And then, if y'all didn't notice, man, there are a lot of Haitians down at the border coming in through that way, trying to escape Haiti. And Esau has a real big issue with anybody dark that's trying to come to their country, man. They don't like niggas. They don't. And when I say niggas, I'm talking about our people, I'm talking about Israelites. They'll let the Hamites in, though. Africans, they'll let them come here all day, every day. Remember that wave of Somalians that we had come over here during the time of the Somalian Civil War that they had? They made a whole movie about it. Bruce Willis was in it. That damn movie. Labia, give me that movie. Black Hawk Down or something, I think it was. No, that wasn't the name of it. What's the name of that movie? Come on, Labia. The movie with Bruce Willis in it. But they'll let them come over here, man. They'll let them come. They'll let the people of Rwanda come all day, every day. But let a Haitian try to come, or anybody coming from Central and South America try to come. They don't want them here, man, because they know who we are. They know who we are. You know what? Some of the 9.5 they'll let in, because I remember back in the 90s when Bush was in office, it was highly publicized. They had Haitians on makeshift boats off the coast of Florida trying to enter the U.S., and they would send them back. They always would send them back, and they probably still coming. But I remember, what's the little boy, Julio from Cuba?
Elion.
They had signs up, free Elion, and let him stay. And he was from Cuba. Hell, he might have been a Spaniard. Who knows? But they let him stay. But they sent all the niggas back to Haiti. Hold on. No, it wasn't a Caesar. That wasn't a movie. Labia, I'm looking for the name of the movie. I think it was Bruce Willis in it. But they were in Africa. I believe they were in Somalia. I think it might have been Black Hawk Down or something. Or, no, it was Tears of the Sun. That was the name of the movie.
Okay.
Tears of the Sun was the name of the movie. And y'all can check out Hotel Rwanda. They let a lot of them come over here, too. But anyway, back to my point, man. They ain't letting no Israelites come. All right, so it says, let me jump down. Why did the violence escalate? Analysts believe the escalating violence is aimed at ousting Henry. It has coincided with the prime minister's visit to Kenya, where he has pushed for the UN-backed deployment of an international force to help fight the gangs. And this is what I heard about. I heard about NPR, that he went over all the way to Africa to petition the UN to send some African troops in to take back control of the country. Henry had repeatedly requested for international intervention in Haiti, and in July 2023, Kenya stepped up and volunteered to lead an international force to combat the gang violence. Kenya promised to deploy a contingent of 1,000 police officers to help train and assist Haitian police. In January, a Kenyan court blocked the deployment of that force. But during his visit to Nairobi, Henry inked a pact with Kenyan President William Ruto for a reciprocal deal that they suggest could allow the East African nation to send soldiers to Haiti. Now, when it says UN, y'all, it's basically talking about the United States, because that's who runs the United Nations. Yeah, they started it. I believe back at the end of World War II, they started the United Nations. But they run it. So guess who vetoed the troops going there? You know it was the U.S. And then this second attempt that he came back, a reciprocal deal, they call it, I bet the U.S. got some out of that deal. Separately, on October 2nd, 2023, the U.N. adopted a resolution authorizing the creation and year-long deployment of a multinational security support mission to reinforce the Haitian police, restore security, and protect crucial infrastructure. The Bahamas, Bangladesh, Barbados, Benin, and Chad formally pledged troops to this force, and less than $11 million was deposited in its fund. However, a date for when the troops will be deployed is still not set. Y'all see this, right? And that's not a coincidence. That's not a coinkydink. It says, could gangs overthrow the government? Gangs already act as a de facto authority in parts of the country. Gang leader Jimmy Barbecue Chazier is the most prominent among them. Want to bring down Henry? The country has failed to hold parliamentary and general elections since 2019, and there are no elected officials. The latest round of attacks also came amidst Henry's pledge to hold long-awaited general elections by mid-2025. I know I'm butchering this dude's name. Chazier is a former elite police officer, now considered one of Haiti's most powerful gang leaders. So he used to be a police officer. He announced that he would try and capture the country police chief and government ministers. Last summer, Chazier, I don't know his dude's name, urged Haitians to mobilize against the government, adding that he would fight any international armed force if they committed abuses. I got to look more into this, too, because this dude sounds like he's for the people. Chazier leads a gang federation known as G9 Family and Allies, and he has previously launched powerful attacks that have crippled the country. In late 2022, he seized control of an area surrounding a key fuel terminal in the capital of Port-au-Prince for almost 2 months. How is the world reacting? Okay, now we get to the good part. The U.S. Embassy in Haiti released a statement on Sunday, listen to this, urging U.S. citizens in Haiti to depart the country as soon as possible. So, you know, they're saying basically get the hell out of there if you're a U.S. citizen. The embassy also said that it will operate a limited capacity starting Monday, and all visa appointments from Monday to Wednesday have been canceled. The neighboring Bahamas said it had called most of its embassy staff back, leaving just its charge, the ferries, and two secretaries attaches, while Mexico said its nationals should limit themselves to essential transit and stock up on water, fuel, and non-perishables. Haiti shares the island of Hispaniola with the Dominican Republic, which last year deported tens of thousands of Haitians. Now, this was last year. They deported tens of thousands of Haitians. And I hear about this all the time, man, that the people on And a river separates the country, y'all. A river divides the country. And you have to cross this river to get into either, on either side. But I heard so many reports about how the people on the DR side, the so-called Dominicans, we know them as the tribe of Simeon, they don't like the Haitians. They don't like the black Haitians. They treat them with disgust, with disdain. You know, they think they eat them like any damn way. A lot of the Simeonites do. A lot of the Dominicans, they think they white people, man. They be dark as hell. I remember the comedian Godfrey was talking about that, the brothers from Dominican Republic. So, me no Negro. Dark as hell, though. So they deported tens of thousands of the Haitians out of their country last year. It says the Dominican Republic on Monday that its defense minister was touring the border to supervise progress on a border fence. Does this sound familiar? He's trying to put up a border fence. Page right out of the U.S. handbook. The White Supremacy U.S. handbook. It says while the president ruled out opening refugee camps for Haitians in the country. He like, hell no, we don't want them over here. The security situation in Haiti has caused aid groups to pause their work in the country, according to the International Rescue Committee, which works with the groups. Now, let's go back to this. It says that this dude has ruled out any refugee camps from Haiti. I'm going to show y'all why. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. People don't know this stuff, man. You know, Christ said it best, and I think we really don't understand when he said, blessed are your eyes to see the things that you see, man. It really is a blessing to know this book, man, and to know who you are and who your people are. It helps you connect a lot of dots. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 28. Now, let me read verse 1 in case you're unfamiliar. This is your first time tuning in. It says, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1, and it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all the commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now, who was he talking to? Let's jump to Deuteronomy chapter 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 1. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side of Jordan in the wilderness. So this is Moses' farewell letter, titled Deuteronomy, which means what? The words. That's why I said, these be the words that Moses spake unto all Israel. But who did he speak these words to? To the Israelites. So this is members only. This is exclusive, only the Israelites, all right? So back in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we find in verse 1, if we observe to do all the Most High's laws, statutes, and commandments, then we will be on high above all nations. Now, the Israelites are scattered all throughout the globe, all across the world, the four corners of the world, like the scriptures say. But we know that a good portion of us ended up over here in the Western Hemisphere. And that these curses affect us on the daily. On the daily. I'm not saying that don't affect the other Israelites that are scattered throughout the world, but I'm talking about the Israelites that we see and that we know, we can pinpoint us over here, like I said, in the Western Hemisphere. So it said that if we kept his law, statutes, and commandments, we would be on high. These Israelites being so-called blacks, so-called Native Americans, and so-called Hispanics. So we were supposed to be on high, and obviously we're not on high. And why are we not on high? Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. So these curses were going to come upon us and overtake us. Obviously they have, because you see the condition that we're living in. Now watch what he says right here. Let's jump up to verse 46. And they, meaning the curses, shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. So the curses, and this whole chapter is dedicated to the curses, we're going to be on God's people for a sign, so that you might see the sign and say, you know what? I wonder if those are God's people. Because they matched the signs of Deuteronomy 28. And the Most High said he was going to put a sign on his people so you might know that those were the people that God gave the commandments to, and they didn't keep them and they broke them. So they were going to be on us for a sign and for a wonder and on our seed forever. When it says on our seed forever, that's talking about generation upon generation upon generation upon generation. And we loosely refer to this as generational curses, right? Not knowing how on point we are, that it is a generational curse, but it's straight from the hands of the Most High, and it's biblical. All right? All right, so with that said, these curses being on God's people, let's get the curse in particular I want to add to this article. Let's jump down to verse 54. Watch this. And wait a minute. Yeah, 54. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. Now, the part I want to key in is how the part of the curse was our eye was going to be evil towards our brother. This is the black-on-black crime, the black-on-Hispanic crime, the black-on-black hatred, the Hispanic-on-black hatred, and vice versa. Now, let me read this part again in the article. It says, Haiti shares the island of Hispaniola with the Dominican Republic, which last year deported tens of thousands of Haitians. What is that but hatred? Because the other side of the island is doing just fine. The DR is not poor. It's a major tourist attraction. They got natural resources, and they're doing pretty good over there. Why the hell do you think the Haitians trying to go over there in the first place? Anybody in poverty is trying to escape the situation and get into a better situation. Reading on, it says the Dominican Republic announced on Monday that its defense minister was touring the border to supervise progress on a border fence to keep the Haitians out. It says while the president ruled out opening refugee camps for Haitians in the country, what is that but hatred of one another? That's Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 54 again. So that the man that is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil towards his brother. That's evilness, man, especially in this time of crisis. You know they need your help, and you won't even open up damn refugee camps. And you know they act like refugee camps be baller. Damn refugee camps don't be baller, man. Go back and watch the movie Scarface, about how they had the Cuban refugees living in refugee camps under damn highways. It was a bunch of crime. People were getting murked, getting raped. Hell, you ain't got to go back there for it. Go back to Louisiana in the flood in New Orleans. Katrina. When they had them everybody at the damn dome in Louisiana. I talked to brothers that went through that ordeal. The brother Carrazza, who lived through that ordeal. Brother saved his family, only to have them go be put in that damn dome where they said they had to set up security when their female relatives wanted to use the bathroom because they was raping women. So you talk about refugee camp. That's what a refugee camp look like. So it ain't like I said, it ain't like they baller, but the DR government won't even do this for the Haitians. like they doing them a real big favor by doing that, but they won't even do that. Let's get Genesis chapter 49, and we'll read verse 5 and verse. Matter of fact, we got to read up. Genesis 49. Where am I? Time this. Yes. Genesis 49, verse 1. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together. Now, Jacob, remember his name was changed to Israel. And Israel had 12 sons, and his 12 sons make up the children of Israel. So this is forefather, our patriarch, the brother Jacob, also known as Israel, before he died. He was giving our patriarchs, our fathers, instructions and prophecies on what was going to happen to them. So listen to what he says. And Jacob called unto his sons and said, gather yourselves together, that I may tell you that which shall befall you in the last days. So in the last days, these things are going to happen to the Israelites. He says, gather yourselves together and hear, you sons of Jacob. Hearken unto Israel, your father. Now, this is the part I want to get to. Verse 5. Listen to this. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Now, once again, if we did classes going over this, me and Sapar did like a five-part series going over how the brothers and sisters from the island of Hispaniola, the DR, Dominican Republic, or the lost children, the so-called lost children, or the lost 10 tribes of Israel. And we went over how the Haitians, so-called Haitians, which we know as the tribe of Levi, were also on that same island. We already went over this. Y'all can go back to the archive. But the scripture says that Simeon and Levi are brethren. They kinfolks. So the Haitians and the Dominican Republicans, they kinfolks. They're blood relatives. It says instruments of cruelty are in their habitation. When it talks about the instruments of cruelty, it's talking about the voodoo that the Haitians be doing and the what they call the witchcraft that Santeria that the Dominicans be doing on the other side of the island. And y'all know this is true, man, because most of the 9.5, what we loosely refer to as the 9.5, the Spanish-speaking tribes of the nation of Israel, they're into Catholicism. Catholicism is nothing more than Christian paganism. So it has a hint of Christianity here and there, but most of it is just pagan. You know, and I was listening to, ISUPK, and the brother made a great point. He said that Christianity allows you to keep doing whatever it was you was doing as long as you want to be a part of them, because Christianity is just based off of membership. And he's talking about, man, as long as you come to church and say you believe in God and talk about God, don't mean you actually have to. And that's true. So you come to church and you can still be a crackhead, but you believe in Jesus. But my point is, going back to verse 5, Genesis 49 and 5, Simeon and Levi are brethren, instruments of cruelty, or in their habitation. Now, it talks about how the so-called Spanish-speaking tribes are into idolatry and paganism mixed with Christianity. And it's no different for the Haitians, who they believe in Catholicism, and the people from the DR, Dominican Republic, they believe in Catholicism also, but as well as what? They witchcraft, whether it be voodoo or what you call it again? Santeria. Same thing. And this is one of the clues. We know that that's who they are. Verse 6, it says, O my soul, come not thou unto their secret. What's the secret? They witchcraft. It says, unto their assembly. And they have, and y'all can go online and Google this. They all on YouTube. Matter of fact, go check that movie out, The Serpent and the Rainbow. It goes deep into the voodoo, The Serpent in the Rainbow. What's that movie with Lisa Bonet in it? And what's that dude's name? Michael Rourke, I think it was. something Rourke, Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rourke. I forgot the name of that movie. It might have been The Serpent and the Rainbow. That one, they made so many movies about it. But go check those movies out. It says, "Oh my soul," verse 6 again, "Oh my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly." And back to my point, they'd be assembling, getting together like an actual church, because you know voodoo is a religion. And, one more time, what's the name of it? Sotheria is a religion. They really believe in it. And that other movie with the white girl in it, Labia, that switched places. Somebody took her soul. What was the name of that movie? Labia, you know the movie I'm talking about, too. It went down in Louisiana, too, in New Orleans. Anyway, but they assembled themselves to do their witchcraft. It says, "My honor, be not thou." Yeah, the skeleton key. Thank you, Labia. The water. Check that movie out, too. That goes into the voodoo. See, I got a lot of homework. Y'all be watching movies all weekend. Good. It says, verse 6 again, "Oh, my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, my honor. Be not thou united." So the Most High don't want them to be united. So you ask, why are the Dominican Republicans not welcoming the Haitians in? Because the Most High don't want them to be united in the first place. Because the first time that they got united and they was in cahoots, and y'all go back and read this in Genesis, Simeon and Levi, and Meshaba went over this too, did a great job of going into it. Simeon and Levi had killed this Hamite nation who they thought that their sister would have been done wrong by, because when you read in the scripture, it tell you that this Hamite prince basically took their sister Diana, and it made it seem like, you know, it was by force or whatever. But Meshaba was bringing out how she was at basically a freak party that was to a deity, because she went down there because she was curious about it, and she ended up getting turned out. Well, anyway, what Simeon and Levi did was they played like it was all good. They had no problems with her marrying another nation, and they went down and talked to the prince and told him, "Hey, man, look, you can have our sister, but you gotta be circumcised. And your whole nation got to be circumcised." And what they did was they circumcised everybody. And then they waited because everybody got circumcised while he was healing up. They killed them. They massacred all of them. And then Jacob had to come back, our forefather, and tell them, "Man, look, you about to get us murked. We around all these nations. It's more of them than it is of us. And then you go and you do some mischief like this, you put a bounty on our head." So we had to check them on that. But like going back to the point, this is what they did when they was in cahoots in their mischief. So just imagine if the Most High didn't put the spirit on this minister of defense dude for the Haitians not to come over and cross into DR, the mischief they would be doing there. All kind of damn spirits would be raised. All kind of witchcraft would be going on. So this is why the Most High said he didn't want them to be united. Verse 6 again, Genesis 49, verse 6. "Oh, my soul, come not thou into their secret, unto their assembly, my honor. Be not thou united. For in their anger they slew a man." This is what I'm talking about. "And in their self-will they dig down a wall." So it's referring to the way they did Diana's husband, the Hamite. So this is what it's talking about, verse 7. It says, "Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel." It was cruel. You circumcise somebody and then murk them while they're healing up. "I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel." This is why that river, I don't know the name of the river, that divides the island of Hispaniola from the Haitian side, then you got the Dominican Republic side. So it's divided. So this dude is doing some cruel stuff, but it's the will of the Most High that they be divided anyway, because the Most High don't like them getting together, performing their mischief by way of witchcraft. All right, so I want to bring out this other magazine. Get this for me, please. I got a reader now, y'all. And I got to listen to me butcher words up no more. So I want you to tell them where you're reading from. This is an old one, man. I'm glad I kept this. Tell them where you're reading from. We're going to go to pages 24, 25, and 26.
Okay, so this is Frontline Magazine. Title of this is Who Got Next? And you said page 24.
Page 24, read the highlights.
Is the fate of Haitian agriculture.
So this is going into Haiti and its agriculture. And once again, this magazine is old, y'all. Is the date on there? It's real old. It should be at the front.
No, I
want to say this is I believe it's from 2000. I think it's from 2000, y'all.
2000. Okay. All right. So the fate of Haitian agriculture. More than 75% of the Haitian population is engaged in agriculture.
No more than what?
75%.
75%. And this was back then. I don't know what it is now, even if they even have agriculture now. 75% of the population was involved in its agriculture. That's a large part of the population. It's only leaving like 25% to do other stuff. So basically everybody farmed. They lived off the land. And if you're unfamiliar with Haiti, a lot of us, when I say us, I'm talking about Israelites, slaves by way of slaves, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 68, were took there and dropped off to work the sugar cane and the rice that they had over there.
Producing both food crops for the domestic market as well as a number of cash crops for export. Already during the Duvalier era, the peasant economy had been undermined.
Now, when it talks about the Duvalier, that's the dude I mentioned earlier. I'll butcher his name, y'all. I'm sorry. Let me go back there real quick and give his year. I think it's like 1950-something. Yep. Duvalier, 1959. Yep. Go ahead.
With the adoption of the IMF World Bank-sponsored trade reforms, the agricultural system, which previously produced food for the local market, had been destabilized.
Had been what?
Destabilized.
Because this is what the IMF does, the International Bank Monetary Fund. They go and they destabilize countries. And then they say, you know what, your country's pretty bad, it's pretty poor, but I can get you a loan, help get you back on your feet. But you're going to have to pay me some interest on this loan. This is what they do, man. They destabilize countries. And then they blame the country for being destabilized. And then they blame the country for begging for money. But y'all put them in the position in the first place. Read.
With the lifting of trade barriers, the local market was opened up to the dumping of U.S. agricultural surpluses, including rice, sugar, and corn.
So they destabilized the Haitian economy, took over their natural resources, basically. So where they had to start importing the same stuff they was growing from other countries. That don't even make sense. Read.
Leading to the destruction of the entire peasant economy.
Wow. They destroyed a whole economy. This is what they do, man. Read.
Gonaives, which used to be Haiti's rice basket region with extensive paddy fields, had been precipitated into bankruptcy. By the end of the 1990s, Haiti's local rice production had been reduced by half, and rice imports from the U.S. accounted for over half of local rice sales.
Wow.
The local farming population was devastated, and the price of rice rose drastically. In a matter of a few years, Haiti, a small impoverished country in the Caribbean, had become the world's fourth largest importer of American rice after Japan, Mexico, and Canada.
Wow. Importer. Wow.
Moving on to page 25.
So we've seen the natural resources that Haiti once had, that the U.S. in cahoots with the IMF, same people, Edomites, basically destabilized the country and had them dependent on U.S. products. All right, now read this part.
So the heading for this is the narcotics tradesmanship trade, transshipment trade.
All right.
While the real economy had been driven into bankruptcy under the brunt of the IMF reforms, the narcotics transshipment trade continues to flourish.
See, but what replaced the crops? Drugs, narcotics. And we know that the CIA with the United States are the world's biggest drug dealers. Y'all go back and watch that movie, that series Snowfall, if you don't believe me. They exposed a little bit on there. A lot of stories was fabricated, but it was a lot of truth in that. Or go back and watch the brother all on YouTube, the real Freeway Ricky Ross. He talks about how the CIA sponsored drugs for him to sell in his community. So, reading on.
According to the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration, DEA, Haiti remains, quote, the major drug transshipment country for the entire Caribbean region.
So it's a major hub. Haiti's a major hub for drugs. So you wonder why they had all these coups and the U.S. and France has always been intervening in their politics and their government. This is why. Because we know they're the biggest dope peddlers of all time. So they're running a lot of dope, a lot of drugs through their country. Read.
Funneling huge shipments of cocaine from Colombia to the United States. It is estimated that Haiti is now responsible for 14% of all the cocaine entering the United States.
So 14%, that might not seem like a large number, but that's a $1 billion industry. So do the math on that. And we already, and I brought this out last week, how they destabled the Colombian government during the time of the Panama Canal they was trying to build, because Panama used to be part of Colombia. Until they wanted to build a canal there, and they forced them to have a damn civil war. Read on.
Representing billions of dollars of revenue for organized crime and the U.S. financial institutions, which launder vast amounts of dirty money. The global trade in narcotics is estimated to be of the order of $500
billion. $500
billion.
So like I said, y'all do the math. What's 14% of $5 billion? That's a lot of damn money. Read.
Much of this transshipment trade goes directly to Miami, which also constitutes a haven for recycling of dirty money into bona fide investments. For example, in real estate and other related activities.
And we already know this reference point, the movie Scarface. Read on.
The evidence confirms that the CIA was protecting this trade during the Duvalier era.
Who was?
CIA.
The CIA. Like I said, the biggest drug dealers in the world. Read.
As well as during the military dictatorship from 1991 to 94. In 1987, Senator John Kerry, as chairman of the Subcommittee of Narcotics, Terrorism, and International Operations of the Senate Foreign Affairs Committee, was entrusted with a major investigation which focused on the links between the CIA and the drug trade, including the laundering of drug money to finance armed insurgencies.
Now, ain't that irony? And I'm going to show y'all the irony of this. It says John Kerry, right?
John Kerry.
So remember, his name, his full name is John F. Kerry, right? The F stands for Forbes. You know, the people who own Forbes magazine? He comes from them. And they made their fortune, I brought this out, during the opium wars in China. So you got a dope dealer. Or the ancestor or the offspring of dope dealers investigating other dope dealers, expecting to get an honest answer. When the comment saying is what? There's no honor amongst these. Read on.
The Kerry Report, published in 1989, while centering its attention on the financing of the Nicaraguan Contra, also included a section on Haiti. Kerry had developed...
Wait a minute. I didn't know that. So this investigation was part of the Nicaraguan investigation? So the Iran-Contra scandal that Ali North was on trial for, he was part of that investigating committee. John F. Kerry, I guess he led it. Read.
Kerry had developed detailed information on drug trafficking by Haiti's military rulers that led to the indictment in Miami in 1988 of Lieutenant Colonel Jean-Paul. The indictment was a major embarrassment to the Haiti military, especially since Paul defiantly refused to surrender to U.S. authorities.
You know, and he was a puppet also, just like Manuel Noriega was a puppet for the U.S. government. And that, and remember, they used Manuel Noriega and him being a criminal and a dictator as an excuse for them to go into Panama and bomb the hell out of Panama, specifically the black neighborhoods of Panama, including Colon. Bomb the hell out of Panama. Talking about they was looking for him, and they destabilized the Panamanian military. Y'all get a chance, man. Go on YouTube. And watch this documentary entitled The Panama Deception. It goes all into that. Read on.
In November 1989, Colonel Paul was found dead after he consumed a traditional Haitian goodwill food, a bowl of pumpkin soup.
They poisoned him. Who you think did that? Who's known to poison people? Go in, on Netflix. They got a documentary. I forget the name of it. I know I'm naming a lot of movies, y'all, but I know people watch more movies than they gonna go and research history books. They did a documentary on Cuba, and they talked about, I forget, it was a crazy amount of assassin attempts on Fidel Castro's life by way of poison. So this is what they do. They specialize in killing. Remember, y'all, Esau's gift, what was he blessed with? He was blessed with the sword. We know that sword is any type of modern-day warfare, whether it be hand-to-hand, guns, missiles, biological warfare, psychological warfare, anything dealing with war. He's blessed at it. Read on.
The U.S. Senate also heard testimony in 1988 that then Interior Minister General William Regalia and his DEA liaison officer protected and supervised cocaine shipments.
Protected and supervised cocaine shipments. Come on, man. These are facts. I'm not making none of this stuff up. We're reading from a reliable source, and dude gives, they give his credentials and his sources at the end of this article. What about the other page right there? What does that say?
This is what we just read.
We read that already?
Yeah.
You finished this?
Not yet.
Go ahead.
The testimony also charged the then Haitian military commander, General Henry Nancy, with accepting bribes from Colombian traffickers in return for landing rights in the mid-1980s. It was in 1989 that yet another military coup brought Lieutenant General Prosper Avril to power. According to a witness before Senator John Kerry's subcommittee, Avril is in fact a major player and Haiti's role as a transit point in the cocaine trade.
So you understand now why the U.S., their stance is just get the American citizens out of Haiti. They're not trying to send no aid over there. They ain't trying to send what's the workers that they be sending in? Like the Peace Corps and the Red Cross and all of that. But Doctors Without Borders, they ain't mentioned none of that going over there, right? But you hear all of them people going over into
Ukraine.
No, not just Ukraine. The most current, Middle East, Israel, Gaza. They sending all of them over there. But what is the stance on the on helping Haiti though? Oh, just get all our citizens out.
John 10 pulled out and he's been the same.
Oh, he was over there.
He was dropping aid for them when they had that. Was it hurricane, tornado, something like that? Natural disaster.
The earthquake they had.
Earthquake, yeah.
A lot of people drop money, but where'd it go? the infrastructure still jacked up. But you see the disparity and how they make a difference, which lets you know that America has an ulterior motive. They always do. Esau always has an ulterior motive. Best believe that. Now jump down to the other highlights.
So this one is the militarization of the Caribbean Basin. Washington seeks to reinstate Haiti as a full-fledged U.S. colony.
They want
to
do what?
Reinstate Haiti as a full-fledged U.S. colony.
Now, once again, this magazine is from 2000, and this brother's bringing this information out. They want Haiti to be a U.S. colony. This is why they was beefing so heavy with Fidel Castro, because Cuba was an unnamed U.S. colony. It wasn't in name, but it was in the way they was all in Cuba, making money off of Cuba, and all the gangsters was running Cuba. And then the Americans would go over there on vacation. Because remember, when Obama lifted the embargoes, they started issuing passports for people to go to Cuba and vacation over there. It's beautiful. They want to make the Caribbean they backyard, they playground, so they can go over there and create some more freak monster islands like Jeffrey Epstein them had. Read on.
With all the appearances of a functioning democracy.
But they want them to appear like it's a democracy. This is why America goes in. Every place they want to destabilize and colonize and get some natural resources or get some from the people, they always mention what first? Democracy. We need to hold elections. It needs to be fair. The people have to speak. They have to have their vote. Just like right now. All this stuff going on with our brothers and sisters in Haiti, and niggas still find time to go to the poll and vote for candidates that ain't going to affect your life positively anyway. People that hate your guts. But you're still trying to run and vote. Read.
The objective is to impose a puppet regime in Port-au-Prince and establish a permanent U.S. military presence in Haiti.
A permanent presence. They're trying to put a military base in Haiti, a U.S. military base like they got in Cuba, Guantanamo Bay. This is what they do. They put in the scriptures, the Bible calls them garrisons. They occupy space. And it's going to get into it in the article, how Haiti is a strategic location for military power. Read.
The U.S. administration ultimately seeks to militarize the Caribbean Basin. The island of Hispaniola is a gateway to the Caribbean Basin, strategically located between Cuba to the northwest and Venezuela to the south. The militarization of the island with the establishment of the U.S. military bases is not only intended to put political pressure on Cuba and Venezuela, it is also geared towards the protection of the multi-billion dollar narcotic transshipment trade through Haiti from production sites in Colombia, Peru, and Bolivia.
So two reasons, to keep the dope moving so they can keep funding Washington, and so they can keep Russia at bay. Because you notice it mentioned Cuba, right? Go back once again to the documentary on Netflix about Cuba, the Cuban Missile Crisis. The Cuban Missile Crisis was the closest that the U.S. came to nuclear war with Russia. I mean, they were like within minutes. It was during JFK's administration. They were within minutes from pushing the button and blowing everything up. But the Most High put a spirit on them to stop it because it ain't time for that yet. That's going to happen, but not yet. But this is the reason they want to claim Haiti for themselves, because the Russians, they got nukes on the island of Cuba. I don't know if y'all knew that. I don't know if they removed them or not. They still might be there. But they got nukes on that island. This is why America had to set up Guantanamo Bay. And, you know, America's trying to do the same thing. They're trying to get control of Haiti so they can put some nukes there. You know?
The militarization of the Caribbean Basin is in some regard similar to that imposed by Washington on the Andean region of South America under the Plan Colombia, renamed the Andean Initiative. The latter constitutes the basis for the militarization of oil and gas wells, as well as pipeline routes and transportation corridors.
Natural resources, once again. Read.
It also protects the narcotics trade. Randall Robinson, who accompanied Haitian President Jean-Bertrand Aristide on his historic return trip back to the Caribbean, reveals that National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice is telling the Jamaican government if Aristide is not immediately expelled from the country and anything happens to American forces in Haiti, consequences would be exacted against Jamaica in full force by the U.S.
Is Aristide, that's his name?
Is it Aristide? Okay.
No, how did you pronounce it?
Probably not correct, but I don't know.
I don't know. I believe I was butchering his name, but this is the same president that they got out in 1990. They held a coup to get him out of office. He returned in 2000, I believe it was. But and I've talked to people from Haiti. They Haitian people, they pretty much liked him. He was for the people, man. But the U.S. got him out of there. He was exiled to Jamaica, I believe, and this is why Condoleezza Rice. See, that was Dave Chappelle. Condoleezza Rice made that statement that she made about him coming back. They don't want him back over there because he's in opposition of everything that the U.S. is trying to do. All right, did you read all of that?
Yes.
Now read the brother's name at the bottom.
Portions of articles made possible by research done by Michael, Chosudovsky, U.S.-sponsored coup d'état, the destabilization of Haiti, February
29, 2004. So these are facts. He wasn't making this up. Now, let's get this right here. This is off of Wikipedia. Read that first part.
From Wikipedia.org, Independence of Haiti. In 1789, is made the Declaration of the Rights of Man and of the Citizen, set by France's National Constituent Assembly. In 1791, the enslaved Africans of Saint-Domingue began the Haitian Revolution.
So the Haitian Revolution, this was against the French.
Aimed at the overthrow of the colonial regime.
Of the colonial regime, which was France. They were trying to overthrow them. So let's jump down. Let's get the term oil. Now, we're not going to go through all this because we got time. So read this right there, Haitian.
Haitian Declaration of Independence. The Haitian Declaration of Independence was proclaimed on 1 January 1804 in the port city of Genovese by Jean-Jacques Dessalines, marking the end of the 13-year-long Haitian Revolution. The declaration marked Haiti's becoming the first independent black nation in the Western Hemisphere.
The first independent black nation in the Western Hemisphere. So that means before Jamaica, Barbados, any of the Caribbean islands that you can name got their independence, and these are black nations I'm talking about, the Haitians did it by way of guerrilla warfare. It was several brothers, but the most famous brother, the one that I know, is Toussaint L'Ouverture, which he had gave Napoleon them fits all up in the mountains. They couldn't fight on that terrain, and they used the terrain, the Haitian people, the Levites used the terrain to their benefit to overcome and overthrow the French. The brothers was out there fighting with knives and cutlets.
Machetes.
They called them cutlets. The machetes gave them hell. But ever since that time, like I said, America and France have held this vendetta against them for them reclaiming their independence. But what happened to them was not exclusive. This happened to all of us as a whole, the nation of Israel. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. The Most High told us that these things were going to happen to us for not keeping his laws, statutes, and commandments. Let's read verse 49, Deuteronomy 28, verse 49.
Deuteronomy 28 and verse 49.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flyeth.
As what?
Swift as the eagle flyeth.
And remember, it says from the end of the earth. Because they thought that this was the end of the earth. Remember, Christopher Columbus thought that you would sail over here and just fall off the edge. So it's talking about the new world, also known as America. Then it says, as swift as the eagle flies. Another clue. What's the American emblem, the American mascot? They put it in on all their flags, it's on all their seals. Hell, it's on the back of the ballot. It's on their currency. It's the eagle. That's unmistakable. It says, as swift as the eagle flies. Read.
A nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand.
And we didn't understand their language. And then I want to go back because the eagle ain't just talking about America. The eagle's talking about basically all Edomite nations, all so-called white nations, because the Americans used the eagle, the Romans used the eagle, and America is the latter end of the Greco-Roman Empire. The Greeks used the eagle also. The Spanish used the eagle, the French. All the white nations, all those white European nations, their emblem was the eagle. And the reason I want to bring that out is because it says, as swift as the eagle flyeth. So it gives you one clue in this one verse that says, from the end of the earth, talking about the new world, then it says, as swift as the eagle flies, giving you another clue to these same people who ended up on the end of the world. Letting you know, it just wasn't one group of these people that did this. It was a collective effort. Everybody that used it, the emblem of the eagle participated in this. It says, whose tongue thou shalt not understand, whether it was the language of French, which who speak this day and age, our so-called Haitian brothers. And on the other side of the island that was colonialized by the Spanish, who also used the eagle, they speak Spanish. Do you think those indigenous people started off speaking that language? No, they didn't. Matter of fact, this is what I wanted you to read. Hold on, y'all. Hold on. Bear with me. Here it is right here. Background. Read this part right here.
Background. Arawak and Taino people inhabited for more than 1,000 years what was later known as Hispaniola.
Which people?
The Arawak Indians,
which means indigenous. So the indigenous people, and who the Tainos, right?
Mm-hmm.
That are so-called Spanish-speaking brothers, whether it's from the island of Puerto Rico or from the island of DR. Tainos. It's not a coincidence. We all the same people, man. We the Israelites. So read the part again.
Arawak and Taino people inhabited for more than 1,000 years.
1,000 years. Do you think they were speaking French and Spanish then? No, they wasn't. Their language was beat into them. Their language was prophesied. We're reading about it in Deuteronomy chapter 28, the 49th verse. Read.
What was later known as Hispaniola.
Do you think that was the original name of the island? Hell no. Hispaniola, Hispane. Basically.
How much you want?
Let's go back to Deuteronomy 28 because we ain't got time. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 50 now.
Verse 50. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor shew favor to the young.
So like I said, whether it was the French, the Spanish, the Dutch, the English, whatever Edomite nation it was, they didn't show favor or regard the young or the old. They didn't care, man. This is why you had Frederick Douglass being a slave from the time he could walk, walking around in a T-shirt. Go read the narrative of Frederick Douglass. He said he walked around in a T-shirt from the time he could walk to the time he became a teenager. That's all he had was a T-shirt year-round. And he was out there working in the field in a T-shirt year-round. They didn't care who he was. And most slaves died on the plantation. They were born on the plantation. died on the plantation. Read on.
And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed.
And this is what I want to get to. This is talking about colonialization. This is talking about the colonizers. And he shall eat the fruit of thy land, like we just read in Haiti, in an article we brought on the front line, how they basically took over all the natural resources. And the Haitian people couldn't even benefit off their own natural resources. This is what it's talking about. Read it again.
And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed.
And what happened to the nation of Haiti? Third world country destroyed. Read.
Which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind, or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee.
And took everything. This is what they do, man. This is what they do. I did have some more of this I want to go into, y'all, but I do not have time. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a brief intermission, we're going to regroup, and we're going to come back with the class title. Nope, that's the wrong title. It's The Aftermath of the Martyrs. I forget which part. But we'll come back, y'all, after this break. Hold tight. We are back. Once again, y'all, the title of the show is The Aftermath of the Martyrs of Christ. Yeah. I forget which part it is, but what did we leave off last week? Let's go here. Let's go to 2 Ezra chapter 7. So I already went over how the disciples was martyred. We're going to go back over it again tonight. But what I'm attempting to do is, because I started with the captivities of Israel, y'all, of a segment I was doing, Never Wax Pale, and it had different parts. But I started way back with the Assyrian captivity, the Babylonian captivity, the Persian Mede captivity, the Greek captivity, the Roman captivity, and went all the way up to the crucifixion of Christ, the disciples being martyred, and this is where we are now, the aftermath of the disciples being martyred. Just walking us through the Bible to show that the Bible is, in fact, a history book, y'all. So if you don't know your history, you'll be lost trying to make sense out of the Bible. It's not a religious book. So in 2 Ezra chapter 7, verse 29. Catch up with y'all. Yep, that's it. Read that, please.
After these years shall my son Christ die, and all men that have life.
So it says, and after these years. Now, this is the prophecy that Second Ezra was given. And he said that after these years, and I went over that the last class of years that it was talking about. But it says, after these years that Christ will die. So Christ dying was prophesied. And I believe he was speaking with the angel Uriel, the angel of wisdom, letting him know Christ was going to be crucified. Then it says, and all men that have life, and we'll get to that part. But let's deal with Christ being crucified and about how it was prophesied. This wasn't the only place it was prophesied. Let's get Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 1. And we are going over, y'all. I'm just letting y'all know. I'm sorry I spent too much time with the news, but it was hefty. 53 and 1, Isaiah. Got it? One verse. So verse 1, then we don't jump. No, actually, read from 1 to 3, then we don't jump.
Isaiah 53 and 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him.
So the he is talking about Christ, and it says no comeliness of beauty that was in him. And this is brought out here in this chapter. We use another source to substantiate this, the brother J.A. Rogers' book, Nature Knows No Color Line, which he says that Christ was basically a dwarf, had a long face, undeveloped beard, and a hump in his back. So this is what this is alluding to here. Read on verse 3.
He is despised and rejected of men.
Mm-hmm. And he was, read.
A man of sorrows. And acquainted with grief.
Yes, he was, Reed.
And we hid, as it were, our faces from him.
And we did. A lot of us rejected Christ, but not all of us. Reed?
He was despised, and we esteemed him not.
And why was Christ despised? He was despised because he told us the truth about how wicked and disgusting we are to our faces. Jump down to verse 7.
He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. And he opened not his mouth.
Mm-hmm. Right. Remember, he was brought to Pilate, and Pilate was asking him questions, and he wouldn't say nothing. He got impatient. Pilate got impatient with him, like, man, you going to say something? You going to speak for yourself? You going to answer? This is what it's talking about. He didn't open up his mouth. He didn't say nothing. He didn't defend himself. Read.
He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter.
And we know Christ is our lamb, our Passover lamb, just like when we left out of Egypt, right? Read.
And as a sheep before her shearers
mm-hmm.
is dumb,
uh-huh.
so he opened not his mouth.
Read.
He was taken from prison and from judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And who shall declare his generation?
Read.
For he was cut off out of the land of the living.
He was cut off out of the land of the living. Christ started his ministry at 30. He died at 33. Read.
For the transgression of my people was he stricken.
For what?
Transgression of my people. Was he stricken?
Christ died for the nation of Israel's sins. Read.
And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth.
Talking about the people he was crucified with, one of them was like a murderer. I think the other one was a robber. Read.
Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him.
It what?
It pleased the Lord to bruise him.
Because the Most High said that he would be the mediator and he would be the ultimate sacrifice for the nation of Israel. Read.
He has put him to grief.
Mm-hmm.
When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed.
Right. If you make his soul an offering for sin, for whose sin? Our sin. What sin once again? The transgression of the law. Breaking the law. 1 John 3:4. Which only applies to the Israelites, by the way. Read.
He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
Right. Prolonging his days is when Christ come back, the second coming, his kingdom ruling forever. Read.
He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many.
Us. Read.
For he shall bear their iniquities.
Us. Read.
Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death.
He died for us. So this is his reward. He's going to, that's why he's called Lord of Lords, King of Kings. He's going to be the emperor of all nations. Read.
And he was numbered with the transgressors.
He was numbered with us. Read.
And he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
So he speaks to the Most High on our behalf. So let's get Hebrews 9:11, because I went over this last week. So I ain't going to read. Recap too hard before I get into the next part of that precept. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11.
But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands.
So it's going all the way back to the Old Testament. The tabernacle that was made with hands. We're talking about the priests that used to minister in the tabernacle. Read.
Not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and cows, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place.
Once. Because we had to do it multiple times. Every time we sin, this is how we know Christ is the ultimate sacrifice. This is why the slaughter and sacrifice of animals is done away with, because Christ took the place of that. Read.
Having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Eternal redemption, meaning we could be forgiven. We don't have to die for our sins. We don't have to die in our sins. We can change. That's what the word repentance means, why repentance is so important. Change. Stop doing what you're doing. Read.
For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
How much?
Because it did. These things used to purify us in the flesh. If you did whatever sin, you would have to bring a bullock or what have you, and it had to be killed and sacrificed on the altar for certain sins. But it was certain sins also you had to die for. Well, Christ took the place of all of that. So it says, read.
How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works.
So how much more the blood of an innocent man purge us or give us redemption from sin?
To serve the living God.
All right, now we're going to go here. Let me find what I'm looking for. Split. Nope, bank of one. Wait a minute, Tom. Don't worry about it. All right. So let's get go back to 2 Ezra chapter 7, verse 29. Yeah, I had another article. I can't find it, y'all. I'm sorry. I got so much stuff open. Oh, here it is. Hold on. It says, and this is from the Bible Journey, from the exile to the birth of Jesus. But I want to get... So it's basically a Bible timeline, y'all. I like Bible timelines, especially when they're accurate. The ministry of Jesus, John the Baptist, when Jesus goes off his preaching, looking for the day of death that they give for him. Here it is, death and resurrection of Jesus, spring 30 A.D. So spring 30 A.D. is what they have for the death and resurrection of Christ. Once again, this is from Bible, thebiblejourney.org. So using it as a historical reference point to show that these events actually happened. So going back to 2 Ezra chapter 7, verse 29 again.
After these years shall my son Christ die, and all men that have life.
And it says, all men that have life. This is referring to the disciples. This is referring to the disciples. So Christ's death is being prophesied here, and the death of the disciples also. Their death is being prophesied. So it says, all men that have life. So let's deal with that part. St. John chapter 10, verse 10. So you get St. John chapter 10, verse 10. You get St. John 12. 21 through 25.
The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill.
This is Christ. How was I speaking? He's telling you what a thief does. He steals, he kills. Read.
And to destroy.
And he destroys. Read.
I am come that they might have life.
That they might have life. Talking about the disciples, and then it's extended on to the whole nation of Israel. That they might have life. Read.
And that they might have it more abundantly.
More abundantly. Going back to 2 Ezra chapter 7, verse 29. After these years shall my son Christ die, and all men that have life. And what Christ said he came to bring us, including the disciples? Life. All right. Read St. John chapter, what you got? 12, verse 21.
The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee,
mm-hmm.
and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus.
Read.
Philip cometh and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew, and Philip telleth Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified.
Uh-huh.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit.
Mm-hmm.
He that loveth his life shall lose it.
What did he say?
He that loveth his life shall lose it.
Christ said, he that loves his life, love the way he's living, love sinning, he's going to lose it. Read.
And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal.
But if you hate your life in this world, you're going to do what?
You shall keep it unto life eternal.
You shall keep it to life eternal. Going back to 2 Ezra chapter 7, verse 29. After these years shall my son Christ die, and all men that have life. So who was he talking to in St. John chapter 12, verse 21 through 25? He was talking about the disciples, and then it was extended to us. So we're on the focus on the disciples. Luke chapter 17, verse 32. Luke 17:32, you got it?
Mm-hmm.
Read.
Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it.
Mm-hmm.
And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it.
Preserve means to save. Remember, going back to 2 Ezra chapter 7, verse 29, after these years shall my son Christ die, and all men that have life. Talking about the disciples. All right, now let's get this right here. Bear with me, y'all. And I went over this before, but we're going to do it again because it goes right along with the scripture. Come on, man. Oh, God. Glad that she's in Christ. Here it is right here. I look right over. Read this. You read that. All right, tell them where you're at. We're going to read it from the top. We're just going to go straight down. So all of this is coming from 2 Ezra chapter 7, verse 29 again. After these years shall my son Christ die, and all men that have life. Read this.
From csmedia1.com, how the disciples, apostles of the Bible, died. You want the disclaimer?
Yeah.
Disclaimer, other than Judas and John, these are not scriptural. Some are historical, some passed down by Christian traditions, and are consistent with how they would have been treated in their time.
Right, some are historical. Like, once again, the Bible is a history book, y'all. And some of these, and I went over this already, the ones that are in the Bible, I went over them, we talked about them, went through all of them. But there's some that are not listed in the Bible. So go ahead.
Andrew, brother of Peter, martyrdom by crucifixion, bound, not nailed, to an X-shaped cross at Petra, Achaia, southern Greece, hung alive for 2 days, exhorting spectators all the while.
Mm-hmm.
Bartholomew, Nathaniel, martyrdom by being skinned alive and crucified head downward by the idolaters of Armenia, Western Asia near Turkey. The most traveled of the disciples after Jesus' death preached the gospel in Mesopotamia, Iraq, Persia, Iran, Ethiopia, Arabia, and India. James the Greater, son of Zebedee, brother of John, beheaded or stabbed with a sword by Herod Agrippa around 44 AD near Palestine and not far from where he was a local missionary to the Jews in Judea. His accuser was converted by James's courage, and the two were beheaded together. James the Lesser, son of Alphaeus, was first bishop of Jerusalem, martyred in his early 90s by being thrown from a pinnacle of the temple at Jerusalem, then stoned and head bashed in with clubs. John, the beloved, son of Zebedee, brother of James, natural death, the only apostle who did not meet a martyr's death,
mm-hmm.
banished by the Roman Emperor Domitian to the Isle of Patmos, where penned Revelation, the last book in the Bible, was later freed and went to preach in Turkey and died at 100. Jude, Thaddeus, wrote Book of Jude, martyred by being beaten with a club, then crucified 72 AD at city of Edessa, Turkey, while on a missionary trip that went to Persia, Iran. Judas Iscariot, suicide, hanged himself. Matthew 27, verse 5, after betraying Jesus, John 13 and 2, scriptural. Matthew, Levi, martyred about 60 AD by being staked and speared to the ground, preached the gospel in Ethiopia, Africa, and was killed for questioning the morals of the king. Simon Peter, the rock, Petra, martyrdom by crucifixion at Rome by Nero. Crucified around 68 A.D., upside down at his request because he did consider himself, because he did not consider himself worthy to be crucified like Jesus. Philip, said to have been tortured, impaled by iron hooks at his ankles and hung upside down to die. Preaching to death 54 A.D. in Heliopolis, Egypt. Preached in Phrygia, and was in the Roman province of Asia near Ephesus, Turkey. Simon the Canaanite, called the zealot because he associated with that sect. Thought to have ministered mostly in Jordan, martyred by crucifixion in Britain in 74 AD, and then sawn in half. Thomas Didymus, martyred, thrust through by spear in India, preached the gospel in Parthia, Iran, and in Kerala, southern India, where yet today the Mar Thoma Church exists. Mark, John Mark, was dictated to writing the book of Mark, martyred, dragged to death. Luke, the physician, wrote Luke and the Acts, was hanged on an olive tree. Matthias, disciple who fills the place of Judas, Acts 1, verse 20 through 26, was stoned and beheaded at Jerusalem. Apostle Paul, Saul, wrote half of the New Testament, was beheaded by Emperor Nero at Rome. James, the half-brother of Jesus, thrown some 100 feet off a wall, done to him after he repeatedly refused to deny his faith in Jesus. He survived the fall and was beaten to death.
So that was the death of all the disciples, but the angel Uriel prophesied this in 2 Ezra chapter 7, verse 29 again, one more again.
After these years shall my son Christ die, and all men that have life.
And no, that would be the disciples, and they did die. I hope everybody's seeing this. The only one that didn't die was John. John the Revelator, who gave us the book of Revelation. This is why he was allowed to live. He had, the Most High had a plan for him. Now, I was going to go there, but give me that. I think we got enough. We need to keep recapping. We're going to move on. That was the 30-second mark. Some of y'all are going to be cut off, but we're going to keep going. Now, I want you to read verse 30.
And the world shall be turned into the old silence 7 days, like as in the former judgment, so that no man shall remain.
All right. So we got to unpack. It says, and the world shall be turned into the old silence 7 days, like as in former judgment. So what this is talking about is how the Most High stopped talking to us. He stopped dealing with us. I'm going to prove this. Let's go to... And he told us he was. Let's go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3. It said, the world shall be turned into the old silence. Silence was going to be on the part of the Most High. Him not talking to us no more. Him not dealing with us no more. Genesis 6. Right? Read that.
And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with men.
What did the Most High say?
My spirit shall not always strive with men.
The Most High told us this way back in Genesis. His spirit was not going to always strive with us. You know, it's like that song, what's his name, Luke Duvall? Ain't got time to go back and forth with you niggas. Living my best life. Most I was like, I'm not going to keep going back and forth with y'all. But he told us this. This is why we read in 2 Ezra. It says, read it again.
And the world shall be turned into the old silence.
To the old silence. No, Most High is not going to be dealing with us. Now read this in Genesis 6 and 3.
And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man.
Read.
For that he also is flesh.
I ain't sitting up here arguing with you. You clay. Read.
Yet his days shall be 120 years.
So the Most High cut our length of days right here, and he prophesied that he was not going to be striving and dealing with us, going back and forth with us. He was going to cut that off. Let's get Amos chapter 8 and verse 10. Because it ain't the only place he prophesied he was going to stop talking to us. Everybody got it? Read that. Okay, you got it?
Amos 8 and 10. And I will turn your feast into mourning.
This is what the Most High told us. Read.
And all your songs into lamentation.
So all the feasts was going to be mourning feasts. You know, just like we be going to the wake. This is what it sounds like to me, a wake.
And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins and baldness upon every head.
Sackcloth, baldness. I guess is why I'm losing my hairline. Read on.
And I will make it as the morning of an only son.
Read on.
And
he's talking about making it as the morning of an only son. My goodness. So you only had one son and then he dies. Ooh. And you mourning over. That's the way the Most High said he going to have us going through these changes. That's how strong our limitations were going to be. He's comparing them to a person that lost their only son, man. The amount of mourning that will go on. Read.
And the end thereof as a bitter day.
Read.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God.
This is the part I want to get to. Read.
That I will send a famine in the land.
Read.
Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water,
mm-hmm.
but of hearing the words of the Lord.
But of what?
Hearing the words of the Lord.
The Most High said he ain't going to keep dealing with us. He ain't got time to keep going back and forth with us. That's why he said he's going to send a famine. You don't want to hear my words. You don't want to do my words. I'm going to stop giving it to you then. Read.
And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord.
He's going to be looking to find the word of the Most High. Read.
And shall not find
it. And it's not going to be found because he told us, he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. I'm not going to keep arguing with you niggas. Read.
In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst.
Faint for what?
Thirst.
Is that Kendrick Lamar song, Dying of Thirst? You die for answers. We die for answers. Can't get no answers. Ezekiel 7:22. Read.
My face will I turn also from them.
What did the Most High say?
My face will I turn also from them.
The Most High kept warning us. He was going to cut us off and stop talking to us. Read.
And they shall pollute my secret place.
Read on.
For the robbers shall enter into it and defile it.
When he talks about they shall pollute my secret place, it's talking about all the nations that came and polluted and stole the valuables, the gold, and all the stuff that was in the temple. Going back to Nebuchadnezzar, going back to Antiochus Epiphanes, going back to the... to Titus and Vespasian and all them other clowns, Edomites, that stole the goods out of the temple, and including Esau's modern-day age robbers. We know them as archaeologists. This is what the Most High is talking about. It says, for the robbers shall enter into and defile it, talking about the temple. So once again, we read how the Most High gave us warning. He was going to cut us off. Now let's get Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 17.
Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day. And I will forsake them.
He going what?
Forsake them.
Not talking to you niggas no more. Free.
And I will hide my face from them.
Do I really have to break this down? It's just like your kids. Your kids mess up, they get on your last nerve. You don't even want to look at them. Like, I don't even look at you right now. That's how the Most High was with us. Read.
And they shall be devoured. And many evils and trouble shall befall them.
When the Most High is not paying attention to us, many troubles and evils befell us. Still do. Read.
So that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? Because
the Most High ain't there. But remember what he said in 2 Ezra. He was going to be silent. You want to listen? Okay, I'm going to shut up. And it ain't like Friday and Debo. I'll be quiet. Leave me. I'll be talking again. Most I was like, no. Read on.
and I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought.
So was it the Most High's fault that he had to hide his face from us?
Mm-mm.
No, our fault. Read.
In that they are turned unto other gods.
Idolatry. Deuteronomy 32 and verse 20.
And he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be.
I'm going to see what happened to you niggas. Y'all ain't want to listen? I'm going to be over here. Read.
For they are a very froward generation.
For it means we walk away from the Most High. We walking away from him anyway. So he said, okay, cool. I'm going to make it easy for y'all. I'm just going to turn around, hide from you peoples. Read.
Children in whom is no faith.
Wow. Go to, what was that, Deuteronomy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's go back to 2 Ezra, chapter 7. We're going to read verse, wait a minute. I think I have another one. No, let's go back to 2 Ezra, 7 and 30.
And the world shall be turned into the old silence 7 days.
The old silence. What old silence is he talking about? Let's get Genesis chapter 1. Verse 1.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth.
In the very beginning. Read.
And the earth was without form and void.
Without form and void. Read.
And darkness was upon the face of the deep.
Mm-hmm.
And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
The Spirit of God was present. But ain't nothing really started happening yet. Because remember, it says the earth was without form and it was void. It was quiet. You know, like the Most High told us, or the angel Uriel told us in 2 Ezra chapter 7, the old silence. This is the old silence. Read.
And God said, let there be light. And there was light.
And things started happening. Once the Most High's voice was revealed, once his instructions was given, good things started happening. All right, let's get St. John chapter 1, verse 1. Just showing we need the Most High's words for any good to happen. We need his instructions for any good to happen, for any movement to happen. Read.
In the beginning was the Word.
Right. Read.
And the Word was with God.
Read.
And the Word was God.
The Most High is everything, man. And we can't do nothing without him. He cuts us off, we in trouble. Proverbs 6:23. Read.
For the commandment is a lamp.
The what?
The commandment is a lamp.
Ain't the commandment the word of the Most High?
Mm-hmm.
So the word of the Most High is a lamp. It's light. Light represents wisdom. Like, remember them old school cartoons? And the cartoon character had an idea and he got to see that light bulb over his head? Read.
And the law is light.
Read.
And reproof of instruction are the way of life.
And if we don't have light, we're walking in what?
Darkness.
In darkness. All right. Let's get Ecclesiastes 12 and 13. I think I'm going to go to 10 if it let me. Read.
Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter.
So the whole duty of man, what's the meaning of life? Read.
Fear God.
Mm-hmm.
And keep his commandments.
Which is his word. Read.
For this is the whole duty of man.
But if we don't have that, then we're left to our own devices. And we start coming up with stuff about the meaning of life. And we got to go ask Confucius. Confucius say, we got to ask these other nations what's the meaning of life or what we should be doing, and we start getting into their culture and their idolatry, their paganism, and worshiping their gods and looking for answers. This is why you get a lot of us, and I never got this, a lot of us niggas go and be Buddhists or we become Muslims because we're looking for these answers because the Most High can get his face from us. All right, give me Hosea 4:6.
My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
Read.
Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee.
The Most High been warning us. Read.
That thou shalt be no priest to me.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children.
We've been getting warnings. Warnings after warnings. Give me Numbers chapter 27, verse 15.
And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh,
read,
set a man over the congregation,
read,
which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd.
And the Most High always gave us this until what he prophesied in 2 Ezra chapter 7, in verse 30. Let's read that again, please. Well, we want to. What? Yeah, verse 30. Read.
The poor man is honored for his skill. I'm sorry, my name.
Second Ezra. Yeah. Second Ezra, chapter 7, verse 30.
Second Ezra, 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 7:30.
7:30. Yeah.
And the world shall be turned into the old silence 7 days.
The old silence, meaning the Most High was not talking to us. He wasn't dealing with us. And this led us into what historians refer to as the Dark Ages or the medieval times. Because we already went over how if we don't have the Most High's word, which he said was a lamp, is a light, to guide us, to direct us, then we'll be in darkness. And that's what happened. We were in darkness during that time, known as the Dark Ages, or the medieval times, or the Byzantine or Byzantine period. So let me see. Read it again.
And the world shall be turned into the old silence 7 days,
mm-hmm,
like as in the former judgment, so that no man shall remain.
But no man shall remain, no man of God. When it says 7 days, a complete number of times, it says so that no man remains, no man of God, no man with God's words. This, like I said, this led us into the Dark Ages. Let's get, lost my place. Let's get Daniel chapter 7. We're going to start at verse 9. Because remember, y'all, we got the Bible, then we got the Apocrypha, and after that, it's nothing. It is nothing. We ain't got nothing like, because I know for myself, my question is always being, okay, where's the rest of it? Why is it just stopped here? You read all the Old Testament, you read the Apocrypha, you get to the New Testament, all the works of the disciples, you read all of that, you read all Paul's letters, you read the book of Jude, and then you get to Revelation, and that's it. That's it. But we know that our history,
went on. It continued after that. So why wasn't it written about? It wasn't written about because from that time period, and I didn't get to go into all of this, but there were apostles after the disciples, or the disciples had apostles, or the apostles had apostles, should I say more correctly. The last apostles that were talked about that I researched were this cat named Polycarp and this other cat, Tertullian, and I forgot the other dude's name. But supposedly Polycarp was a disciple of John the Revelator. And Tertullian, I believe, was either Polycarp's contemporary or his student, or it might have been his teacher. But after that, and that's in secular sources. That's not even biblical. You got to go into secular sources, secular history, to get that history about what happened after the disciples. But like I said, you get the revelations, and that's it. And we know, and this is why Revelation has so many prophecies, and not just the book of Revelations, Daniel, Second Ezra, Ezekiel, all of those prophecies in almost every book. But this is why, because the Most High knew he was going to cut us off and stop talking to us. And it was going to be nothing else written, biblically speaking, but it was going to be something else written and recorded. This is what we're going to read right now. Where we at?
Daniel chapter 7 and verse 9.
Mm-hmm.
I beheld, so the thrones were cast down.
Now, this is Daniel. Now, I'm not going to go over this whole chapter, but in this chapter, Daniel goes over four kingdoms. He gives you descriptions of them. He break them down for you to a T. You got to put the precepts together, make it make sense. But verse 9, he says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. So he's at the end of all those kingdoms rising and falling. That's why he said, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. So all those thrones, all those kingdoms were thrown down. Read.
And the Ancient of Days did sit.
The Ancient of Days. Who's older than the day? The Most High. So this is the day of judgment. Read.
Whose garment was white as snow.
Uh-huh.
And the hair of his head like the pure wool.
So letting you know that the Most High is a what? Sound like a nigga to me. Woolly hair. Sound like a black man to me. Read.
His throne was like a fiery flame.
Mm-hmm.
And his wheels as burning fire.
Uh-huh.
A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands ministered unto him.
Thousands of thousands ministered. Talking about the angels ministering. Read.
And 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him.
And an innumerable multitude. That's what that is. Read.
The judgment was set.
Now listen to this part. Read it again.
The judgment was set.
This is how you know we're talking about the day of judgment. The judgment was set. And what happened? Read.
And the books were opened.
What book? What book was open? Huh? What book was open?
Your life.
The book of your life. What you did. What you didn't do. All the wickedness you did. All the righteousness you did. A book is being written about each and every last one of us, our lives right now. I'm going to let that sink in. Why do you think, and I ain't going to go into Revelation, but the book of Revelation tells you that it was 24 elders that monitor each and every last hour of the day. What do you think they're monitoring? What do you think they're writing down and recording? It's the book we're reading about in Daniel, the 7th chapter and the 10th verse. Let's get Revelation, chapter 20, verse 12. Yep.
And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God.
Once again, the dead, small and great, judgment day. Read.
And the books were opened.
What books? The book of your life, our life. Read.
And another book was opened, which is the book of life.
What other book was that? The Bible. So your book was opened. The Bible was open, and what's going on? Read.
and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books.
Out of the book?
The books.
The books, plural. Your book, what you did in your lifetime, compared it to the book, the Bible. And that's why it says, according to their works. I hope everybody see this. Now, to prove this was going to happen, let's get Luke chapter 16. Christ gave us a preview of this in this parable. And we're going to start at verse 22. So Luke 16, verse 22.
And it came to pass that the beggar died,
mm-hmm,
and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried.
So this is the parable about Lazarus, who was the beggar, and then the rich man that used to see him every day and then do nothing for him. Read.
And in hell, he lifts up his eyes.
So Lazarus, his judgment was to go to hell. Read.
Being in torment.
I'm sorry, not Lazarus, the rich man.
Mm-hmm.
He was sent to hell. Read.
And sees Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom.
So he's looking up into heaven. Lazarus made it to heaven. He's up there with our forefather Abraham. Read.
And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue.
He asked for mercy and to be cooled off. Read.
For I am tormented in this flame.
So let you know, hell is a real place. Read.
But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime.
What did he? Whoa, whoa, whoa. What did Abraham say?
Remember that thou in thy lifetime.
Remember that you in your lifetime. Now, remember what we read in Daniel chapter 7 about the book being opened, in Revelation chapter 20 about the book being opened. Christ has given us a preview here that those books are real. They exist. Because what is Abram referring to? This man's book. Listen to it again. Read from the top.
But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou, in thy lifetime,
in your lifetime, your book of life, read,
receivest thy good things.
You was living it up, house to hog. You had it all, read.
And likewise, Lazarus, evil things.
But you did evil to Lazarus. Now, how would Abraham know this, unless it was recorded? Read.
But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented.
Read.
And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed,
mm-hmm,
so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot.
Mm-hmm.
Neither can they pass to us,
mm-hmm,
that would come from them.
Then you know there's a barrier between heaven and hell. Read.
Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house.
Send him to my father's house. Read.
For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment.
Tell them to go back and warn my brothers. I don't want them to end up in hell. I don't want their book of life to be open and they get judged the same way I did because they're doing the same stuff I'm doing. I don't want them to come here. Read.
Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them.
What's Moses and the prophets? That's the Bible. So the Most High did leave us something. Even though the book stopped, but we got enough. That's why he said they have Moses and the prophets. That's enough. Because you read in 2 Ezra how the Most High held Moses, I think it's in 2 Ezra, held Moses for a long season. He told him many things, and he told him to publish some things and some things to keep secret. And then Ezra said that he had received other books as well. My point is this, it's a lot of the Bible we don't have. It's a lot of the books we don't have, but we got enough. That's why Abraham said what? Read that part again.
Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets.
We got enough. Read.
Let them hear them.
That's your instruction manual. Live by that. That's enough. All right, y'all. We only got, 4 minutes? And I don't want to go into the next part of this class because it's a whole bunch of information we have to break down. And I would be doing it an injustice if I continued on
with it tonight. Because we got, we got a lot more. So I hope everybody got some edification out of the class. Hope y'all got some understanding out of the class. I hope I wasn't going too fast. I probably was. I apologize, y'all. I just get so excited about the scriptures, about the information being brought out, and how real the Bible is, man. It's scary. Sometimes I get chills reading about the prophecies, man, and being able to connect them to current day events or events in history, man. It's really scary, y'all. But I apologize for going too fast. Hope everybody got some edification out of the class. If you got any questions, y'all, over this class or any other class, any other topic, please, man, hit a brother up. Area code 314-482-9110. Or if you just want to rap with a brother, man. And we appreciate your classes, man, myself and Mashaba, because a lot of the questions, we appreciate your questions. A lot of your questions that you ask become classes, y'all. So keep those questions flowing in, man. We appreciate it. The Water Mashaba, my brother, my partner in righteousness, for hooking up the broadcast, man, keeping this thing called Blog Talk going for many moons now. Looking forward to the new the new adventures, brother, that we got planned for Bible Talk. With that, y'all, until next week, Lord willing, tell a friend to please tune in to Sazapa.
Tuesday.
Sazapa.
Tuesday.
Sazapa.
Tuesday.
Every
Tuesday.
And with that, y'all, we're going to say shalom.